So we are holding on Samachay Omud Bey's 20 line, about 20 lines from the bottom. Line begins with Chazili. We're still in the middle of discussing issues involving Schiras Yoshus, whereas we said in the Mishnah, if a Goy is living in a Chatzir together with Jews, or at least one Jew according to the mayor, at least two according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, then you can't make an Eruv Chatzeres unless you, and you can't carry in the Chatzir, and you can't make an Eruv Chatzeres unless you do Schiras Yoshus, unless you rent the premises from the Goy, at least symbolically, as we said at the beginning of the parak. So here's an issue involving that. The Gemara says, Rish Lakish v'Talmidei Rav Chanina iklu lahu pundak. One time Rish Lakish and the Talmidim of Rav Chanina were staying at a certain inn for Shabbos. Rashi actually gives two explanations. One is that the situation was that you had at least two Jews over there, because you had Rish Lakish and the Talmidim of Rav Chanina. In addition, you also had the owner of the place was a goy. That goy wasn't there on Shabbos, but there was another goy who rented the place from him who was there on Shabbos. So they'd need to do Schiras Yoshus. That's Rashi's first explanation. The second explanation, Rashi says, is that never mind even the goy, just the fact that you have two Jews together, each one in their own room, is enough to create a problem, to require an Eruv and to require Schiras Yoshus. We're going to learn later on in the parak that guests don't make an Eruv required. If you have a house of your own in a chatzah and then you have some guests with you for Shabbos, you're not required to make an Eruv just because the guests are there. But here, because the actual balabas, the person who owns the place, is not there, then therefore that could create an issue. The point is also, the question was, what do we do as far as Schiras Rishus? Do we need the original owner, or can we do Schiras Rishus from the Goyish tenant? Tosfos, by the way, points out an interesting historical tidbit over here. We know, of course, the famous story of how Rish Lakish was made into a Baal Tshuva and a Talmid Chacham by Rabbi Yochanan, the famous story in Bava Metzia over there. Tosfos over here and in a couple of other places says that it seems Rish Lakish had originally been a Talmid Chacham, then he went off the Derech, and then Rabbi Yochanan got him to do Tshuva and go back to being a Talmid Chacham. How do we see that from this story? Tosfos says. Because we're going to say that they went and asked Rav Ofes. Now the Gemara tells us in Ksubas that Rav Ofes was the next Rosh Yeshiva after Rebbe passed away. And Rav Ofes, Tosfos learned, now the Gemara says over there something about 2.5 years. On the surface, the Gemara means that Rav Ofes was 2.5 years older than, the Gemara mentions over there 2.5 years. On the surface, it means that he was 2.5 years older than Rav Chanina, who was the next possible candidate who became the next Rosh Yeshiva. But Tosfos seems to learn it means that Rav Ofes himself was Rosh Yeshiva for only 2.5 years. So it means this story had to have happened within 2.5 years after Rebbe passed away, for them to be going and asking Rav Ofes after that he passed away. Meanwhile, we have the story of Rabbi Yochanan meeting Rish Lakish and making him into a Baal Tshuva only happened many years after that. So the implication is that when Rebbe passed away, and for a short time after that, Rish Lakish was still a Talmid Chacham, then he went off the Derech, became a bandit leader and so forth, and then later on, Rabbi Yochanan helped him to become a Baal Tshuva again. Anyway, so in this story, so again, you have Rish Lakish and the Talmidim of Rav Chanina. We're in this inn. V'loy have a soicher. The landlord, the goyish landlord, the owner of the place, is not there for Shabbos. They have a master, but the goyish tenant was there. Omru, so they're wondering among themselves, mahu l'mega mine, are we allowed to do schiras rishus from this goyish tenant? Now, the considerations are as follows. Kol hecha delay motzi misalikle, if the landlord is not able to throw out the tenant, in other words, if the tenant, let's say, has a lease and, you know, he's going to be there until a certain date regardless, and then there's no question, obviously you can't rent from the tenant. Because then it can't be considered in the reshus of the landlord. if he himself, if he can't, if he's not able to throw out the sky before the term is up. Kitiboy heichad demotzi misalikli. The question would be, what happens if it's the scenario? Let's say he doesn't have a lease, so for whatever reason, the deal is that the landlord can tell the tenant anytime he wants, pack up your stuff and move. I need the place for myself. So do we say mai? So what do we say then? Kiven demotzi misalikli. On the one hand, then we're saying that he's able to throw him out and take over the place. Therefore, agrinan, that might be a reason to allow us to be able to rent from, to do schiras rishus from the tenant, because in effect, then the tenant is sort of then standing in place of the, is working on behalf of the balabas. Because again, the balabas still has a certain ownership over the place in that he could come anytime he wants and tell the tenant to leave. Or maybe he could do that, but right now he hasn't yet. So maybe that's a reason to say that you can't and you need to do schiras rishus davka from the landlord. Mefroshim point out, by the way, obviously, you know, now if the tenant is actually an agent of the landlord, we had, for example, about the other day, and we're going to have soon again about Schirei Olakita, that he's his hired worker, long-term or temporary, then of course you could do Schirei Sushos for him. For that matter, also, if the Balabas still has the right to keep certain items of his in that rental apartment, let's say, then also that makes it possible now, then it's considered that he has, then it's considered no matter what, that he has Tfisas Yad over there, that he has a certain ownership over there, and again, you could do Schiras Rishus for him. So the question is, over here where you have none of those considerations, all you have is that he's a tenant, and the landlord could throw him out whenever he wants. Amalehen Rishlokish Nisker, so Rishlokish says to them, you know what, let's go ahead and do the Schiras Rishus. And go ahead, because after all, Eruvin are drabanan, and a suffix drabanan were makelin. Now, in this case, it's a different kind of suffix. The kind of sfeikas we've been talking about before have been where the situation itself is uncertain. Here we know what the situation is. The question is just what the halacha is. It's called suffik yedia. In many cases in halacha, we say that's not considered a suffik. But here again, Erevin being dinabanan, we can rely even that it's a suffik yedia. We can rely on that. When we get to our Rebbeim in the south of Eretz Yisrael, then we'll ask them whether what we did was correct. And we'll find out once and for all what the halacha is. So they did that. Also, Shaila Lurab office. So they went and asked Rab office. He says to them, you did correct in doing the Schiras Rishus. The halacha is you are able to do Schiras Rishus from a tenant, if not even from a member of the family, if the situation is that the balabas, that the landlord could kick him out anytime he wants. This is the source in halacha for the concept of being able to do schira nowadays. If we make a city eruv, we do schiras, for example, in apartment buildings, we often do from the super. When we're doing an eruv that involves city streets, we do schiras rishus from the mayor or from the police. It's based on this kind of thing that they have certain rights over the houses and over the streets. In the case of the streets, for example, the police can block them off whenever they want, which gives them a certain bilus over it. In the case of houses, it's a little harder to do because in a democracy, it's not so easy. I mean, even, you know, the mayor or the police can't just kick somebody out of their house without reason, but the houses themselves, the Goyish houses, are usually not included in the Eruv, just when you're making a city Eruv, just the streets and small parks and things like that. But it's based on this Gemara over here, also based on, we're going to have later on in our Masechta, we're going to have other examples where you have an agent doing Schiras Rishus on behalf of another one. Another example, also involving Chachamim in an inn on Shabbos, and also involving Schiras Rishus, Rav Chanina bar Yosef, Rav Chir bar Abba, Rav Asi, Iklu Lahu Pondak, these three Chachamim were in an inn on Shabbos. Now here, the situation was, the Asa Nochri Mori de Pondak b'Shabbosa. What happened was that before Shabbos, the Goyish owner of the place, or anybody in his family, hadn't been there, and then he came in the middle of Shabbos. So Rashi, the explanation in Rashi seems to be a little bit hard to understand. It seems that there are actually two explanations combined together in Rashi over here. One is that they did make an Eruv, and it was valid for as long as the goy didn't come there. But now the goy came, and now it spoils the eruv because you need schiras rishus. The other explanation Rashi says is that they didn't make an eruv before, and then this is the explanation that Tosfos brings this in the name of Rashi, as this is the actual explanation that Rashi meant, which is that they didn't actually make an eruv because they figured that. Now we talked about a few days ago the question if the goy who lives over there is not there on Shabbos, does it still require schiras rishus for him? Do we say that even though he's not there, it's considered as though he was? So we said at the beginning of the parak that maybe not. Diras nachri kudiras behema. We said it's considered like an animal stall in that sense. Maybe therefore we wouldn't need schiras rishus. But Rashi is learning over here that. They took the view that it's not like that. Even if he's not there, it creates a problem. And therefore they didn't make an Eruv. So now when the goy came on Shabbos, so before Shabbos they didn't have the ability to do Schiras Rishos for him because he wasn't there to do it with him. Now that he came on Shabbos, the question was, can we do Schiras Rishos with him? And then, in order to be able to carry in this chatzer, we'll then do Bitul Rishos. Then what we'll do is, as we've discussed before, we'll have all of us be Mevatel or Rishos in the chatzer to one of us. So you have these three chachamim. Let's say they'll all be Mevatel them to Rav Chanina bar Yosef. And then he'll be able to carry things from his house or his apartment in his room, whatever, in this inn, out into the chatzer. Everybody else will be also fine. But at least that way things will be able to be carried in and out of the chatzer. Tosfos doesn't like that explanation though, because the fact is we said that only if the goy is there on Shabbos does it create a problem. So Tosfos rather says that what it is more like Rashi's first explanation, that they did make an Eruv, but now when the goy comes in the middle of Shabbos, it spoils it, and now the question is, can they do Schiras Rishus from the goy during Shabbos? And Tosfos gets into a long discussion of why this is different than other cases where you make an Eruv at the beginning of Shabbos and it lasts even if you have the Tosfos brings an example that we had in Masechet Shabbos where you have boats tied together and they made an Eruv between them. Then if the boats got separated, then you're not allowed to carry. But then if, let's say, the boats end up getting tied back together, let's say somebody doesn't know that it's Shabbos and ties them back together, or let's say a goy on one of the boats ties them back together, then you're allowed to continue carrying. And Tosfos draws a distinction because over there, once the boats were tied together at the beginning of Shabbos, the expectation was they were going to stay tied together the whole Shabbos. Over here, the goy could come anytime during Shabbos. He's not even limited by travel restrictions because he can travel outside the Tum and he can come by horse and wagon or whatever on Shabbos. So Tosfos continues to go into a bit of discussion about the pros and cons of that. So the question was again, can they do Omru? So they said, Maul Mega Mine, are we allowed to do Schiras Rishus from this goy on Shabbos? The question was, Seichek Ma'arav Domi, do we say that doing Schiras Rishus is like making an Eruv? Therefore, Ma Ma'arav Mib'oidyayim Af Seichem Mib'oidyayim. So the Eruv, of course, has to be made before Shabbos begins. You can't make an Eruv Chatzeres on Shabbos itself. Af Seichem Mib'oidyayim. So the same thing, doing Schiras Rishus also would have to be done before Shabbos, and you can't do it on Shabbos. Oidyoma Seichek Mib'atar Rishus Domi. Or maybe doing Schiras Rishus is like doing Bitol Rishus. And ma mevatel rishus v'afilu b'Shabbos. If you're going to be mevatel rishus, again, if we have you and I are in a chotzer together and we forgot to make an eruv, I can be mevatel my rishus to you, and then the result is you're allowed to carry from your house to the chotzer on Shabbos. I'm not. And that you can do even on Shabbos. So, af seichav afilu b'Shabbos. Maybe the same thing with schiras rishus from the goy. Maybe that could be done on Shabbos as well. Now, they're not asking about the point that schira, it's rental, isn't that a business transaction that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos? Because, as we learned at the beginning of the parak, it doesn't really have to be an actual thing where you give him money, or we said you can do it even with less than a shava prota. We said you don't need documents, you don't need any of that. It's basically just a symbolic thing. So there's no question from the point of view of mekach u'memker, you'd be allowed to do it on Shabbos. The question isn't whether you're allowed to, the question is whether it would be effective. Because again, the same way as it's not effective to make an Eruv Chatzeros on Shabbos, maybe it's not effective to do Schiras Roshos either, or maybe not. So again, so you had a Machlokes among these three Chachamim. Rav Chanina ben Yosef Amar Nisker, Rav Asi Amar Loi Nisker. So Rav Chanina ben Yosef said, we should be able to go and do Schiras Roshos from the Goy, and Rav Asi said no. Omalahu Rav Chiya Ba'aba. So Rav Chiya Ba'aba said to them, here's what we'll do. Nismech al Divrei Zakin. We'll rely on the words of the elder Talmid Chacham, Rav Chanina bar Yosef, the Nisker, and we'll go ahead and do the Schiras Roshos. And so again, according to either then it means that now the result is that Schiras Roshos will make the original Eruv that they made valid again. Actually, the Rishonim brings something that the Ravid says, an interesting idea, that even though, again, let's assume they made an Eruv Chatzeros before Shabbos, figuring that again, since the Goy is not there, it's not going to ask her. Then he came in the middle of Shabbos and spoiled the Eruv by being there, and now they need Schiras Roshos. The Ravid learns, actually, that if they do Schiras Roshos, then it's called Choze Venir, like the original Eruv, which now was invalid, wakes up again and becomes valid again. It could be that Rashi, in his first explanation over here, agrees with that point. In the second explanation, when Rashi says that they didn't make an Eruv in the first place, in the second explanation where Rashi says they didn't make an Eruv in the first place, then the only thing they could do is Bitul Roshos. And again, that's the explanation. That's the explanation that Tosfos prefers. They could have made an Eruv. The fact that there would have been a Goy there doesn't answer because he wasn't actually there. So they were in a situation they could have made an Eruv. Maybe they didn't, actually. But now the question is, can we do Schiras Roshos and then Bitul Roshos, and that way one of us will be able to carry? So they ended up doing that. Also, Shailu Leilu Rav Yechanan, so they went and asked Rav Yechanan later, did we do the right thing? And again, Omalahan Yofa Sisim Shaskartem, he says to them, you did correct in doing the Schiras Roshos. That does work. Again, either according to the Ravid, that would mean that your original Eruv that you made now goes back into effect once you do the Schiras Roshos. According to everybody else, it would mean that, no, your original Eruv doesn't go back into effect, or maybe even you didn't make an Eruv in the first place, but now you can do Bitul Roshos. Now, having done Bitul Roshos, on top of that, at least you've gained that now you have one person, whoever you are Mavatul Roshos to, is able to carry in that Chatzar. And by the way, we're going to learn later on in the Perek that Atlin, Bechoizer, and Mevatlin. What you can do is you have, let's say, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi there. They can be Mevatel Roshos to Reuven, and that way Reuven is allowed to carry what he needs into the Chatzar. Then Reuven and Shimon together can go and be Mevatel Roshos to Levi for another part of Shabbos, and now Levi is allowed to carry in and out of the Chatzar, and they can go back and forth like that. So that way they're able to carry after. Okay. So the Gemara says, Tohu Bona Hardoi. The Nahaudoi, the Chachamim of Nahauda, tohu on the statement. Now, later on the Omer, Rashi explains that the word tohu means smelling. Rashi brings from a Gemara elsewhere, where in Avodah Zarah, where the word the Shodesh Toha means to smell. So, like they're sniffing around this. I'm like trying to think, is this correct or not? Is this correct? But why would this work? And does this fit with other things that we know that Rabbi Yochanan said? The other possibility is Tohu can also mean they wondered about it. How could this be correct? Like Aaron in this week's parasha, Varitzayis Tohu Vavoyu. It's interesting that Rashi only explains this tohu later on and not this one. So it could be that Rashi over here understands tohu in the regular sense, that it means that they wondered about it. And only later on, then Rashi says that it would mean that he investigated it. Maybe the difference is because here the Gemara is going to point out that the Nahar Dorya are going to point out a contradiction between this and another statement of Rabbi Yochanan. So that's something to wonder about. How could we say that Rabbi Yochanan said this if we know Rabbi Yochanan said something else? Later on, the Tohi that we're going to have further down on the Omud is going to be different. It's going to be not how could Rabbi Yochanan say this, but how does this fit with something else that I heard from my Rebbe Shmuel? In which case, I mean, that's not something to wonder about. Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel are allowed to argue, but it's something to think about and to investigate. Is there some way that we can make them fit together? So maybe for that reason, Rashi over here leaves it unexplained, and it's when we're meant to understand that it's the usual meaning of Toha, which means to wonder about it. Anyway, Tohu ba Nahar Dorya. So the Nahar Dorya wondered about it. Is this in fact the case? You mind muting yourself? There's some background noise there. Thank you. So Tohu ba Nahar Dorya. Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi. Did Rabbi Yochanan really say this? That it's okay to do the Schiras Rishus in the middle of Shabbos? Baha Amar Rabbi Yochanan Seichel Kama'arav Dami. Didn't Rabbi Yochanan and say that doing Schiras Rishus is like making the Eruv? My love, now doesn't that, on the face of it, that means that just like the Eruv has to be made before Shabbos, so does the Schiras Rishus. So then we would see that the Schiras Rishus in fact has to be done before Shabbos, and that would contradict what we just have from the story that Rabbi Yochanan said you could do it on Shabbos. The answer is like, no, that's not necessarily what it means. It means mama arava filu b'pachas mishava pruta, afsleicha b'pachas mishava pruta. It can mean there are a number of other, there are other things in which we can say that an eruv and schiras rishus from the goy are similar. So number one, just like you can make an eruv with less than a shava pruta of food. You can contribute your food for the Eruv. We're going to learn later on in the eighth perek that the food for the Eruv, you have to have shtei sudas for each person. But first of all, shtei sudas of food, it could be some very cheap kind of food, which is worth less than a pruta, or even you happen to have, for example, let's say bread is very, very cheap. You could use that, let's say. But also, we say that if there's more than 18 people in the chotzer, then all you need is two sudas for all of them, two gregeris rather, for all of them combined. Sorry, you need a gregeris for each person, not shtei sudas. You need a gregeris for each person up to 18. And if you have more than 18, then you only need a total of 18 gregeris for everybody. So therefore, so you can have, by the time you reach that many people, if you have, let's say, 50 people in the chotzer, 50 families in the chotzer, let's say, then each one is only giving a very tiny amount of food, and we're saying that so it can be less than a shavu pruta. Afsoicha b'pachas m'shavu pruta. The same way, the schiras rishus can also be less than a pruta. That's one connection between them. And umam arav afilo schiro elokitoi. Just like when it comes to making the eruv, just like when it comes to giving the eruv food, even the afilo schiro elokitoi, even the hired worker, the long term or short term hired worker of the goy is able to join in the eruv. We learned the other day about this. We said two possibilities over there, actually. One is that it means that one is that schirei lekita over here means the schirei lekita of a goy, that instead of having to do schiras rishus, he's able to do schiras rishus on behalf of the goy and then participate in the eruv. Or the other possibility we said is maybe he doesn't even need to do schiras rishus, he can just participate in the eruv. But anyway, the point is that schirei lekita can stand in for him. Af socha afilo schirei lekita. So the same thing when it comes to Schiras Rishus, also the Schirei Lekitoi, if you have a Jew working for a Goy, then he's able to do Schiras Rishus on behalf of his boss, the Goy. And Umama Arev, and here's a third comparison, just like when it comes to an Erev, Chamisha Sheshurin B'chotzer Achas, Echad Ma'arev Ayde Kulon, if you have five or however many people living in one Chotzer, then one of them is able to make an Eruv on behalf of all of them. We learned about this earlier in the Masechta, and we're going to learn about it again later on in our Perek, that if, let's say, you have, two Chatzeres, one next to the other, So let's say the people in one chatzar made themselves an eruv. Now they want to join in with the next chatzar over and join them in their eruv as well, so that they can carry not only within their chatzar but between them and the next chatzar over through the doorway between them. Then you don't have to have all five of them. You don't have to have all five of them bring over the eruv to the other one. You can have one person bring over the eruv food as a shliach on behalf of the rest of them. So the same thing, Seuchanami, the same thing applies to Schiras Rishus. Chamisha Shishurin Bechatzer Achas Echad Seucha Ayde Kulan. If you need Schiras Rishus from the Goy, you don't need all five people to go together to the Goy to be Seucha Rishus. You can send one person, and he does it, and he acts as a Shliach on behalf of all of them, and then the Schiras Rishus is done to all of them. So the point is, in other words, so we see that there are other comparisons that we can be making between an Eruv and Schiras Rishus. It doesn't require us to say that another point of comparison is that they have to be both done before Shabbos, and therefore it doesn't contradict what Rabbi Yochanan said in the story with the three Chachamim, that you can do Schiras Rishus on Shabbos. Okay. Now, continues the Gemara, Tohi Bara Belozer. Rabbi Lazar was tohi on this. So again, here Rashi explains that the word tohi means he was sniffing into it, like he's thinking into it to understand what's going on over here. But he didn't say what the problem was. He was just, he seemed like he needed to investigate this thing that Rabbi Yochanan said, that you can do Schiras Rishus on Shabbos. So Amar Rabbi Zeira, Mahiti, Adir Rabbi Lazar. So Rabbi Zeira asks, what does Rabbi Lazar find so strange about this that he needs to investigate it and sniff around in it? Amar of Sheshes, so Rabbi Sheshes says, I don't understand Rabbi Zeira's question. Gavra Rabbi Rabbi Zeira, Lo Yoda Mahiti, Adir Rabbi Lazar. How could a great person, a great Talmud Chacham like Rabbi Zeira, not know what Rabbi Lazar's problem was with this that he has to investigate into it? His problem was very obvious. Rabbi Lazar had a problem that this seems to contradict what he learned from his Rebbe Shmuel. Now, of course, Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel are both Amiroyim. They can argue with each other. But Rabbi Lazar would rather see if there's some way to reconcile them. So, De'amar Shmuel, Kol Makim Sha'oisrinim Arvin Mevatlin. The rule is like this, Shmuel says. Any time that you have where there are two people there and they aser one from another, they aser one another to carry. In other words, if they don't make an Eruv, they're going to be also to carry in their joint area, their chotzer or whatever. Arvin. And the situation is that they could make an Eruv if they wanted. Then, Mevatlin, then they're able to do Bittul Rishus. But, continues Shmuel, Ma'arvin ve'en oisrin. If you have a scenario where they could make an eruv, but if they didn't make an eruv, then they're not asering on each other, which we're going to give examples of that soon. Or oisrin ve'en ma'arvin, or the other way around, where one of them asers the other and they're not able to make an eruv. In those cases, ein mevatlin, then they're not able to do bittul rishus. So let's give examples of that. So first we're going to give examples of that, and then we're going to explain how this seems to contradict what Rabbi Yochanan says. So kol mokum sha'oisrin ma'arvin mevatlin. What's an example where the two Jews aser one on another to carry if they don't make an eruv, and therefore they could make an eruv, and therefore we say if they failed to make an eruv, then instead they can do bittul rishus. What is an example? Kigoin beis chatzeres zulifnim mizu. For example, you have two chatzeres, one inward of the other, so that you have the first diagram in Hagoyes HaBach. You have, as we learned about the other day, you have an inner chotzer where the only way to get in and out of it is to walk through the outer chotzer. So a few days ago we talked about the idea, what happens if the people in the inner chotzer, actually we talked about yesterday a case about this involving Jews and Goyim, so if the people in the inner chotzer make their own Eruv, then you have a machloikas Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim later on in the Perek, where towards the end of the Perek, whether if they didn't join in an Eruv with the outer chotzer, whether the outer chotzer is going to be mutter or osir to carry in their area. So now it's called, what you have is, the people in the inner chotzer, having made themselves an Eruv, are called regel hamuteres v'mekoyma. They're allowed to carry in their zone, in their inner chatzer. The question is whether they aser the outer chatzer because by virtue of the fact that they walk through it. But here you have the scenario over here, let's say, is the people in the inner chatzer didn't even make their own Eruv. So then everybody agrees, both the Chachamim and Rabbi Akiva, that it's called Regal HaAsura B'Mekoyma, the feet of the people in the inner chatzer are also to carry in their chatzer on Shabbos, because they didn't make an Eruv in their inner chatzer. They are therefore going to aser the outer chatzer when they walk through it, even if the people in the outer chatzer made their own Eruv. So there's an example where Oisru and Uma Arvin, the people in the inner chotzer cause the people in the outer chotzer to be also to carry. Uma Arvin, they could conceivably have made an Eruv if they wanted, they just forgot to or whatever. So now the din is Mevatlin, so now Shmuel is saying that now they're able to be Mevatl. What do they do? The people in the inner chotzer are Mevatl Rishus to the people of the outer chotzer, and then therefore the people in the outer chotzer are able to carry. So that would be an example of what we mean Komakim Sha'osu and Uma Arvin Mevatlin. So that's what's the other example? Ein mevatlin. What ma'arvin ve'ein oisrin ein mevatlin. What is the example where we say people who could have made an eruv, but the lack of making an eruv between them doesn't answer one to the other? Would be kagan beis chatzeros or pesach ha'chabeneid. Would be where you have the second diagram in Hagoyes Habach. Two chatzeros, both of them are open into the mavui, so they're side by side, unlike the previous one where one is behind the other, and they have a doorway between them. So if there's a doorway between them, so we're going to learn later on in the seventh Perek, that we have in many such cases, they're allowed to make one joint Eruv if they want, but they don't have to. They could each make their own separate Eruv, and just they're not going to be able to carry from one chotzer to another. So therefore, and Shmuel is saying in that case, they can't do Bittul Rishus, because the whole concept of Bittul Rishus only applies where without it, you wouldn't be able to carry at all. Here, the people in the left chotzer are able to carry in their chotzer. The people in the right chotzer are able to carry in their chotzer. So according to Shmuel's rule, Bittul Rishus is not effective in that case. Even suppose they want to carry something from one chotzer to another, they can't be Mevatul Rishus in order to be able to do that. So now, the third part of Shmuel's rule, when we say that there's a case where they aser on each other to carry in a certain area, but we're saying they couldn't have made an eruv. How do you have a case where oistrin, but they couldn't have made an eruv, and we're saying ein mevatlin la'asurim mai sorab. So Elazar is wondering what would that come to include. Lav la'asurim nahri. Presumably, it would be the case where you have a goy involved, where again the two Jews the two Jews aser one on another to carry in that chotzer, because again that's the rule. Two or more Jews in a chotzer, then you can't carry in it. They're not able to make an Eruv because of the Goy, because they need Schiras Rishus, and we're saying Ein Mevatlin. That contradicts what Rabbi Yochanan said, that you're able to be Mevatl Rishus in the middle of Shabbos. And we have to figure out the de Osa Me'esmo. Now, we obviously can't be talking about the case where the Goy was there, where the Goy was there before Shabbos. Because what do you mean? What's the problem? Loiga me'esmo. We could have done schiras rishus from him the day before. So then in that case, you'd be back to you. You'd do schiras rishus with him before Shabbos. Comes Shabbos, therefore, you have a case where it's oisrin arvin, where without an eruv, they're going to be also to carry, but with it, but they are able to make an eruv. So what's the problem? So obviously the scenario that it's oisrin ve'en ma'arvin, elo lav de osa b'shabbos. So apparently, the case must be where the goy comes in the middle of Shabbos. And still, Shmuel is calling that Oistrin Ve'en Ma'arvin. That we're saying that the fact that the goy comes in the middle of Shabbos makes it now that they could not have made an Eruv. So again, does that mean they couldn't have made an Eruv to begin with? Tosfos says not. Tosfos says they could go ahead and make an Eruv because the goy is not there. But the fact is, if he comes in the middle of Shabbos, then it spoils the Eruv. And again, even if they do Stiris or Shus, Tosfos learns that's not going to redo the Eruv. Now again, the Ravid learns differently. So he would have to say that Ein Ma'arvin means in a sense fine, but as long as we don't do Stiris or Shus, and we did say the other day that it's not a given that the goy is going to be willing to do it. We said after all, we have the story involving Lachman Baristak or Homer. common barista over there where we said he didn't want to do schiras or shuras, and they had to find a way around it. So Vikatoni ate oystrin vein mevaplin and oystrin vein ma'arvin ain mevaplin. And so now, so we have to say that Shmuel is talking about this kind of scenario where you have again where you have two Jews, so they're oystrin. There's a goy involved to ain ma'arvin. The goy wasn't there at the beginning of Shabbos because then they could have done schiras or shus then, so you wouldn't call that ain ma'arvin. It must be that he came in the middle of Shabbos, and again, therefore, ain ma'arvin means either, therefore, they didn't make an eruv to begin with because they figured he's going to come in the middle of Shabbos and spoil it, or maybe they did make an eruv, but as soon as he comes, then that eruv goes out of effect because he's there. And Shmuel is saying, Oystrin Vein Ma'arvin Ein Mevatlin, that you can't do Bitul Rishus. Shmamino, so that proves that that is what Shmuel is saying. So therefore, so that's Rabbi Lazar was wondering then, he was trying to figure out, is there a way to reconcile what Rabbi Yochanan is saying with what Shmuel is saying? Now, apparently there doesn't seem to be a way. It seems to be that Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel are arguing. So who is the halacha like? Tosfos discusses on Amud Aleph whether Tosfos discusses on Amud Aleph. He brings from Rabbeinu Chananel that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan. In general, when we have a machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel, the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan. And besides, halacha could even make over eruv. On the other hand, Tosfos continues and brings from the Ri that we have a brisa later on in the perek that works out better according to Shmuel, and therefore that would mean the halacha is according to Shmuel. L'maisa, most of the poskim paskin, and this is how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, like Rabbi Yochanan, that you could do schiras reshus in the middle of Shabbos if you need to. It doesn't result in that the eruv becomes valid again. The halacha is not the most of the posts can disagree with the Ravid that the eruv can be chos of a near. But the result is once you do schiras reshus, then okay, then you'll be able to do bitul reshus. They'll be able to all be mevatul reshus to one of the to one of the Jews over there, and then at least he'll be able to carry in and out of his house to the chotzer. And then again later on during Shabbos they can change that and be mevatul reshus to the next person and continue like that throughout Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yosef lo shmieli hoshmaita. Rabbi Yosef says, I didn't, about the statement of Shmuel about the case of the two chatzeres, one within the other, the first diagram that we had on Amar Aleph. So Rabbi Yosef says, I have not heard of the statement of Shmuel, which he was surprised about. If Shmuel said this, I should have heard this. And of course, we know that it was the usual thing, as we know throughout Shas, that Rabbi Yosef became sick at some point and forgot his learning, and his Talmidim would have to remind him. So Amalei Abaya at Amrit Nihalon. So Abaya says to him, "You previously told it to us. Va'aho Amrit Nihalon. You told us this statement of Shmuel in connection with the following din. The Amr Shmuel." Ein bitul reshus, but mechatzer lechatzer. Shmuel had said there's no bitul reshus from one chatzer to the other, which is the scenario that we're talking about, where you have that where you have two chatzeres, where you have two chatzeres, one next to the other. Where you have two chatzeres, one next to the other, where again each one is independent of the other one insofar as going in and out of the mavui or going in and out of Rosh Hashanah, and therefore they don't have to make an eruv together in order to be able to carry, because neither the people of one chatzer don't have to cross through the other one. And also Shmuel had said ve'ein bitul reshus b'churva. Also, there's no bitul reshus when it comes to a ruined house. Meaning, Rashi explains, let's say you have a house, you have a house here, a house there. In between them, you have a ruined house. Now, both of them want to be able to use it. Both of them, for example, want to be able to throw things there. Let's say they could use it as their garbage dump or something. So again, you have a shared area between two houses. Which they'd like to be able to use. So Shmuel is saying that bitul reshus is not effective in being able to do that. Again, for a similar reason to before, because bitul reshus is only as a last ditch measure. You didn't make an eruv, and now you're not going to be able to carry to your chotzer. Now you're not going to be able to carry to and from your chotzer at all. So then the Chachamim made a kula and said you can do bitul reshus. But not when you have over here. It's only a churva. It's not something that you need to use on an ongoing basis necessarily. Then the Chachamim are, it's not ikur tashmish sayur. Rashi says it's not your main tashmish. It's not over there. So then the Chachamim are not going to allow bitul reshus. And by the way, Tosfos points out, and I'm an Aleph, this is therefore a bit of an exception to Shmuel's rule. We said that Kamakam Sha'osu and Ma'avin Mavatlin, this is an exception to that, because the fact is, here they do aser one on the other, because they both have joint ownership over the Chorva. They could have made an Eruv if they wanted, and include the Chorva in it as well. And yet we're saying you can't do Bitter Rishus. So that rule that Shmuel said, and I'm an Aleph, is not an absolute rule. Anyway, the point is, So va'amrit lan Allah. So Rabbi says to Rabbi Yosef, so now you told us in connection with that statement of Shmuel, this that was saying ki yom Shmuel ein bitul reshus mechatzer v'chatzer. This that Shmuel was saying, you can't be mevatel reshus from one chatzer to another. Loy amoran ela shtei chatzeres pesach achad b'nehem. That applies only to the second scenario that we had on Amon Aleph, where you have two chatzeres with a doorway between them. So each chatzer is able to go in and out independently. They don't have to go over into each other's space. So they're not assuring each other, because if they each make their separate Eruv, then they're able to carry individually in their chatzer. So therefore, so even though they could conceivably make an Eruv between themselves if they want, but they're not required to, they're able to carry without it. And therefore, if they didn't make that Eruv between them, then they can't do Bitul Rishus. Abel Zulifnim Mizu, but if the chatzeros are one further in than the other, the first scenario that we had on Amud Aleph, where the people in the inner chatzer can only get in and out by walking through the outer chatzer, then So Abaye says to Rabbi Yosef, you told us that no, there you could have bitul rishus from chatzer to chatzer. Mitoch she'osrin zealzeh, since if they don't make an eruv, if the people in the inner chatzer do not make an eruv, then they're going to be asur in the outer chatzer, because again it's regal ha'asura b'mekoyma, because they're not allowed to carry in their zone. So because of that, mevatlin, so therefore they're able to do bitul rishus if they didn't make an eruv of their own. If each one made an Eruv of their own, then it's not necessary, because then they're not asking the people in the outer chotzer when they walk through them. The halacha is like the chachamim, that regal hamuteres b'mekoyma, it does not ask the other chotzer when it walks through it, not like Rabbi Akiva. But over here, if the people in the inner chotzer did not even make an Eruv of themselves, and therefore they're going to ask the outer chotzer when they walk through it, then, so Rabbi says to Rabbi Yosef, you told us that then Shmuel would say that you are able to be mevatel. The people in the inner chatzer can be mevatel rishus to the people in the outer chatzer. The people in the inner chatzer now are not going to be able to carry in and out of their houses to their chatzer at all, but at least they're not going to be asking the outer chatzer by walking through it. Okay. Omalei, so Rabbi Yosef answers Abaya, Anoa minim eshmei de Shmuel hachi. Did I really say that in the name of Shmuel? Shmuel also said another statement. When it comes to Eruvin, the only cases where we can add a heter, where we're able to be mounted something, we can only follow the Loshen of the Mishnah that we have. And the Mishnah later on in the Perek says, Anshei Chotzer V'loi Anshei Chatzei Rois. Later on in the Perek, you have a case, it says the people of a Chotzer, where they forgot and one person did not join in an Eruv, or all of them didn't join in an Eruv, or whatever, then they can be Mevatel Rishus, implying that it's talking about one Chotzer. The implication is that there's no bitul rishus ever from one chotzer to another. So what are you telling me that there's a case where Shmuel says that you could do bitul rishus from one chotzer to another, namely where one chotzer is inside, is further back than another one, and the only way to go through, and the only way for the inner chotzer to go in and out is through the outer chotzer? That would be chatzei rois. So therefore, according to Shmuel's rule, bitul rishus shouldn't be allowed there, because the Mishnah is not implying that such a thing is allowed. So it has to be that Shmuel would say that in all cases you can't do bitul rishus from one chotzer to another. So Abaya, what are you telling me that I said that there's a case where Shmuel would allow bitul rishus from one chotzer to another? Omalei, so Abaya corrects him. He says, "Ki amrit lon mishmei de Shmuel ein lona be'eruv in elak kaloshin mishnasenu." Yes, you did say this rule that Shmuel had said that when it comes to heterim in the dinim of eruv echatzeres, we can only follow the exact wording of the Mishnah, and we can't make up further heterim that are not implied in the words. But aha amrit lon, you weren't talking about that Mishnah on daf samachtes about anshei chotzer. You were talking about a different Mishnah. You were talking about a different Mishnah at the end of the parak, where the Mishnah says Shamavui lachatzeres kachatzol labatim. The relationship of the mavui to the chatzeres is like the relationship of the chatzor to the houses. Now we learn from that. We learn from that later on that in order for it to be considered a mavui and be able to have the rules of a mavui, where you need a shit of mavoyus, and more to the point, also where you have what we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, that you need that you can use a lechi or a koda, that applies only if the mavui has at least two chatzeres opening into it. And the chotzer has at least two houses, and each chotzer has at least two houses opening into it. Otherwise, if the mavui has fewer chatzeres, so the chatzeres have fewer houses, then the mavui is not considered a mavui, then it's considered, in effect, another chotzer, and a lechi or a kora is not enough for it. Then you need a tzilas a pesach, or a pas dalet, or a board four tefachim wide, etc., as we talked about in the first parak of our Masechta. So the point is, Rabbi Yosef had said about that Mishnah that we have to follow the exact wording of the Mishnah, and therefore the definition of a mavri depends on there being chatzei rois and each chatzer having houses, because the Mishnah uses the expression in the plural chatzei rois and batim. But not in a, that's what Rabbi Yosef had said, that they are Shmuel is saying we can only follow that, and therefore you have to have that defines for us what a mavui is, where otherwise we don't have that definition. Shmuel's statement was not referring to the Mishnah about Anshe Chotzer Sheshachach Echad Mehen to say that it applies only to one Chotzer but not two. Okay, so there's no contradiction between the various statements that we're bringing in the name of Shmuel, where we're saying that you could do bitul rishus, from one chotzer to another, namely when you have a chotzer behind another chotzer, and then that the people from the inner chotzer are able to mivatul rishus to the outer ones because otherwise they're going to aser things for them. That doesn't contradict what Shmuel is saying, that ein mona be'erev in al kolashim mishnah seinu, because that has nothing to do. That's talking about a different mishnah. An interesting side point over here, Tosfos mentions over there something where in that sugya, Shmuel uses the expression, even if there's one house and one chotzer, so which seems to contradict what we're saying over here, that you need two chotzeres, each one with two houses, and then Tosfos says, v'chad minayo ba'achrita, one of them is achrita. So what is achrita? Achrita can mean behind. So Marsha says maybe Tosfos means that Shmuel still means the same thing, that we're talking about one chotzer behind another one. However, Marsha says then the language that Tosfos is using is a little bit odd. So the Chacham Tzvi has in the middle of a truva about a completely different topic, where he's dealing with an issue with the jurisdiction of Beis Dins and Basi Dinim in cities that are close together. In the middle of that truva, he deals with our Tosfos over here and says the word achrita over here may mean the second statement. In other words, that Shmuel first said Bais Echad b'chatzer achas, but then he changed his mind and said what we're saying in our sugya over here, that for it to be considered a mavri, you need two houses, you need two chatzeres. Each one with at least two houses. Okay. Gufa, getting back to what we said before, Amar Shmuel ein bitul rishus mechatzer v'chatzer, the ein bitul rishus v'chorba. So again, Shmuel had said that you can't do bitul rishus from one chatzer to another. In other words, in the case, so again, Rabbi Yosef had thought that it meant both cases, whether one chatzer is behind the other or one chatzer is next to the other. And now we said in the end that no, Shmuel would be fine with doing bitul rishus from the inner chatzer to the outer one, because otherwise they're going to aser the outer one when they walk through it. But not when it comes to two chatzeres side by side, where they don't have to make an eruv in the first place to be mutter to carry in their chatzer. The ein bitul rishus b'chorva, and also Shmuel had said there's no bitul rishus when it comes to a chorva, to a ruined house, where again it's between two houses and they both want to be able to use it in common by picking things up out of it or putting things into it. So Shmuel had said there's no bitul rishus in that connection because it's not ikur tashmishto, it's not the main place that you need to use like a chotzer for the house. Rabbi Yechanan disagrees and says you could even do bitter rishos from one chatzar to another, and you could do bitter rishos to be able to use the churva. So again, if they made an eruv between themselves, the two houses, and they include the churva, then good, they're both allowed to use the churva, same as a chatzar. But if they didn't, then Rabbi Yechanan is saying they could be mevatel rishos one to the other, and still be able to use, and one of them will be able to use the churva. Now, so we have two machloikas in of Rabbi Yechanan and Shmuel. We have this one, and we have the one on Amud Aleph about whether they're able to do bitter rishos in the middle of Shabbos. Never mind that. We're saying within this itself, we're mentioning chotzer v'chotzer and churva. Now, why does Shmuel have to mention both of them, and why does Rabbi Yechanan have to mention both of them? So the Gemara says it's tzricha. We need both of those statements. We couldn't have derived one from the other. To Iyashmin and Mechotzer l'chotzer, if we only learned that the case of from one chotzer to another, where Shmuel says you can't do bitter rishos and Rabbi Yechanan says you could, you would say Baha ka'ama Shmuel. You know why Shmuel is saying that you can't do bitter rishos? Mishum dehotash mishta l'chod, behotash mishta l'chod. Because after all, the case of two chatzeres, one next to the other, each one is functioning independently. Each chotzer are able to use their chotzer independently. Neither one of them requires the other one because they each have their own exit to the mavri. So they could make an eruv between them if they want through the doorway, but they're not required to. So you could say each one is able to use their chotzer independently. Therefore, Shmuel would say the chachamim didn't give us the kula of bitul reshus in that case. When it comes to a churva, where the point is they want to be able to both use it jointly, there's not this kind of thing where one of them, it's after all, it's a joint area between the two of them. Maybe Shmuel would agree with Rabbi Yechanan that because it's an area which has to be used jointly, each one, there isn't really, not has to be, but in other words, the point is that the way that it's being used is jointly. It's not something which belongs more to one than the other, unlike the case of the two chatzeres, where each one has their own independent chatzer. Ema modulei the Rabbi Yechanan, you would think maybe Shmuel agrees with Rabbi Yechanan that they could be mevatel rishos, so therefore Shmuel had to tell us not. On the other hand, if we only had the case of the churva, you would say b'ha ka'amar Rabbi Yechanan. Only there does Rabbi Yechanan say you could do bitter rishos for that reason, because it's one churva shared by the two of them. Al b'hach modile de Shmuel, you would think maybe in the case of the two separate chatzeres, where each one has their own chatzer that they can carry in, it modile de Shmuel, you would think that he agrees with Shmuel. He agrees with Shmuel that you can't do bitter rishos. Tzricha, and therefore we need them to be telling us both cases. Again, the poskim paskim mostly like Rabbi Yechanan, because again, on the grounds that Rabbi Yechanan against Shmuel, the halacha is like Rabbi Yechanan, and also because halacha could be a make of eruv, and therefore the halacha is that you could do bitter rishos between one chatzar and another, and also you can do bitter rishos to be able to use a churva. Amar Abaya, Hoda Amar Shmuel ain't bitter rishus mechotzer lechotzer. So again, going back to what we said before, Abaya says that Shmuel's rule, where he says ain't bitter rishus mechotzer lechotzer, loy amoran ela b'shtei chatzeres of Pesach echa b'nehem. That applies only if it's two chatzeres with one door between them. In other words, again, the second scenario, the second diagram that we had on Amud Aleph, where each one can go in and out of the mavri by themselves. They don't have to cross over through one. One doesn't have to go through the other one's thing. So Shmuel will say, because they're able to carry in their individual chatzer, therefore we don't allow them bitul rishos to be able to carry between the chatzeres. But Abaya says, when you have one chatzer further back than the other one, the first scenario that we had on Amud Aleph, then we would say, mitoch sha'oisru in mevatlin. Since again, if the people in the inner chatzer do not make an eruv chatzeres, then they're going to be aser the people in the outer chatzer to carry in their chatzer, because they're walking through it. Therefore, mevatlin, therefore they're able to be mevatel rishos. What they can do is, again, they're in this case, they're mevatel rishos. To be exact, it's not just they're mevatel rishos that they can't carry in their chotzer. Anyway, can't carry in their chotzer because they didn't make an eruv. What we mean is actually mevatel rishos, that they're giving up their rights to walk through the outer chotzer. For that Shabbos, they're saying, basically, we're going to stay in our chotzer and we're not going to walk through yours in order not to aser it for you. So Abaya says that even according to Shmuel, that would work. Rav Amar, Rav says it's not so simple. Afilu shtei chatzeres zu lefnei mizu, pa'amim mevatlin u'pa'amim mevatlin. Even when you have two chatzeres, one further back than the other, not necessarily, and Anne was saying that the people in the inner chatzer, if they walk through the outer one, are going to aser them, because they're regal ha'iset ha'asura b'mekayma, because they're also to carry in their area, since they didn't make themselves an eruv, and therefore they'd be asering the other chatzer when they walk through it. It depends. Pa'amim mevatlin u'pa'amim ein mevatlin. Rava says there are going to be scenarios where they're able to be mevatel, their duris es regel, their rights to walk through the outer chatzer, and sometimes not. Kate said, what are the possible scenarios? So let's go through. Nosnu eruvin b'chitzayna. So let's start with the case when if they put the eruv food in the outer chatzer. Now, Rashi explains, usually what you have is, if you have people in two chatzeres make eruvin, usually what you have is, let's say you have people in one chatzer made themselves an eruv in order to be able to carry in it, then if they now want to join with another chatzer, again, there were, you know, we said before, we had, you know, typically you'll have one person, we said one person is able to carry over the food to the other one. They're not usually going to say, well, let's make a separate eruv, let's start putting together other food. They'll take the same eruv food that they used for their own chatzer, and they're going to put it in the other chatzer. So now what happens is, so suppose that people in the inner chatzer made it eruv, and then they decided, you know what, we actually should join with the outer chatzer as well. Let's join them into our eruv as well, so that we're able to carry between our chatzer and theirs. The shachach echad, and so they put the eruv food in the outer chatzer. The shachach echad beim napnimis or beim nachatzayin v'lo eruv. Now what happened was one person in either one of the chatzeres forgot to join in the eruv. So now you have a problem without bitur rishus, shtehen asuris. So now the result is going to be that both the people in both chatzeres are going to be usur to carry, and bitur rishus is not even going to be effective. So what we have is, in other words, that the Gemara is going to explain why. But again, keep in mind the scenario is that we're talking about the eruv, which the bnei apnimis, the people from the inner chotzer made for themselves, is now actually located in the outer chotzer. So we're saying then that bitul rishus wouldn't help. Second case, nosnu eruvin bapnimis. What happens if they take this joint eruv and keep it in the inner chotzer? So again, let's say you could have the other way around. Let's say the people of the outer chotzer first made themselves an eruv. Then they decided to join the inner chotzer in with it as well. So they took the food and brought it into the inner chotzer. The shachach echem napnimis v'leirav. If one of the people from the outer chotzer forgot to join in, no problem. He can do bitul rishus. But if one of the people of the inner chotzer forgot to join in the eruv, shteyan asuris, and again, both of them are going to be osur, and bitul rishus is not going to help either. On the other hand, if in that scenario, when the eruv is in the inner chatzer, if somebody from the outer chatzer forgot to join in the eruv, then the inner chatzer is still going to be able to carry, and the people of the inner chatzer are still going to be able to carry in their chatzer. The people of the outer chatzer are not going to be able to. Actually, I misread it a little bit. So here, let me go it over again. If they put it in the chitzoyna and somebody forgot to join in from either one, shtei nasuris. A second case, nosnu eruvin bapnimis. If they put it in the inner chotzer, v'shachachachim napnimis v'la eruv shtei nasuris. If somebody from the inner chotzer forgot and didn't join in the eruv, then they're both aser. Shachachachim nachatzoyna v'la eruv. If somebody from the outer chotzer forgot to join in the eruv, pnimis mocheres v'chitzoyna asura. So now let's go through those three cases and understand in which cases bitul rishus is going to work and which ones it won't. We're saying if they took the joint eruv of the two chatzeres and put it in the outer chatzer, and somebody, whether from the inner or the outer chatzer, forgot to join in the eruv, why are we saying they're both osur? And bitul rishus is not going to help, because if the person from the inner, if it's a person from the inner chotzer forgot to join in, then let's consider haibab pnimis l'man nivtol. If you have somebody from the inner chotzer forgot to join in the eruv, if you want him to do bitul rishus, who should he be doing bitul rishus to? Livtol l'bnei pnimis, should he be saying, I'll be mevatel rishus to the other people in the inner chotzer? Can't. Lesa la eruv ayo gamayo. The eruv food is not located in their chotzer. Bitul Rishus is only effective when the Eruv is in that Chatzar. Here, the Eruv food is not even in that Chatzar. Livtul Gabi Chitzayna, should we say he's going to be Mevatul Rishus to the people in the Eruv Chatzar? Can't ain't Bitul Rishus me Chatzar v'Chatzar, because you can't do Bitul Rishus from one Chatzar to another. Now, even though, in this case, he's answering on them, but still, he's not able to be Mevatul Rishus to a different Chatzar, because that was what Shmuel had said before, that Bitul Rishus doesn't work from one Chatzar to another, and unlike Abaya, who said that in a case of one Chatzar within the other, that Shmuel would agree it always works, Rava disagrees with that. Rashi actually asks the question, why don't we say that the people in the Eruv Chatzar should be Mevatel Rishus to him, to the one person who forgot to join in the Eruv? The problem is that then they're going to be Regel HaSura B'Mekoyma. Then they're going to be also to carry in their Chatzar, and then the Eruv Chatzar itself is going to be Bottle. And even if they have the Eruv food in their Chatzar, but because they were Mevatel Rishus, then therefore that undoes that. So that wouldn't work. And let's ask, so that explains why if a person from the inner chatzar forgot to join in the Eruv, in that case, when the Eruv food is in the outer one, then we're saying that the whole thing is going to become osur and nobody's going to be able to carry in their chatzeris, and even Bitul Rishus is not going to help. What about now let's talk about the case in that same scenario when the Eruv is located in the outer Chatzar and somebody from the outer Chatzar forgot to join in the Eruv. You're saying that also Bitul Rishus doesn't help. Why? Because again, Hai Bachatzon Laman Nivtol. Somebody in the outer Chatzar, who would he be able to do Bitul Rishus to? Livtol Lebnei Chitzona. Should we say he'll be Mevatel Rishus to the other people in his Chatzar, in the outer Chatzar? That's not going to work. Ika Pnimis to Asra Alayu. The fact is, you still have the people in the inner chatzar that are going to make it osir, because again, the inner people don't have a valid eruv. Their eruv is not even located. Is not even located by them. So therefore, again, it's regal hasura b'mekayma. So they're not going to be able to carry in their chatzar, and therefore they're going to ask for the outer chatzar when they walk through it. So the Eruv is going to be undone by the people on the inside. Livtel Lebnei Pnimis, should we say that the person from the outer Chatzar is going to be Mevatel to the inner one? Can't ein Bitul Rishus mechatzar v'chatzar. Again, we have Shmuel's rule that you can't be Mevatel Rishus from one Chatzar to another. So therefore, in that case, if the Eruv food is located in the outer Chatzar, if somebody in either Chatzar forgot to join in the Eruv, then we're not going to be able to have Bitul Rishus at all, says Rava. Actually, Tosfos disagrees with Rashi on that. Tosfos says they could be Mevatel Rishus to him, and then the result is that he would be mutter to carry in that chatzar. But Rava is talking about, he wants to say, is there a way to make it that the other people are going to be able to carry? And the answer is no, because even if they do Bitul Rishus, unlike Rashi, who says Bitul Rishus won't even be effective according to Rava in this scenario, according to Tosfos, it would be effective, but fine, all that helps is that he's able to carry. It still doesn't help them to be able to carry. What about the third case, Rava said, Nosnu Eruvan B'Pnimis. Now what happens if they place the Eruv food in the inner Chatzar, V'Shachach Echmen HaPnimis V'La'iruv Shtein Asuris. If somebody from the inner Chatzar forgot to join in the Eruv, then we said they're both Asur. Again, the question is, Hai B'Pnimis L'Man Nivtel, because if you wanted to say that the person in the inner Chatzar who forgot to join in the Eruv, that he should be Mevatel Rishus, who is he supposed to be Mevatel Rishus to? Livtel L'Bnei HaPnimis. Are we going to say that he's going to be mevatel to the other people in the chotzer with him? Can't ikachitzayne de asra alayu. You have the outer chotzer now makes the inner chotzer asr. Now, why is that? The outer chotzer doesn't have to go into the inner chotzer. They're able to go in and out without having to go into the inner chotzer. You have a concept that because the eruv food is located in the inner chotzer, and remember, the whole point of eruv food is supposed to be that as if you live there, so it's called margil l'soicha. It makes it now, we're going to learn this concept at the end of the parak, it makes it now that the people of the outer chotzer are considered now to a certain extent as if they live in the inner chatzar. It's like they're regularly going in and out of the inner chatzar, and therefore, again, you're going to have the same problem. Livtel Lebnei Chitzona, should we say that the person from the inside chatzar should be Mevatel Rishus to the people of the outer? Again, says Rava, won't work. Ein Bitul Rishus mechatzar l'chatzar. You can't do Bitul Rishus from one chatzar to another, so it's still not going to work. And the third and the last possible case, Shochar Rachem Rachatzon of Ala Erev, if in that case, when the Erev food is located in the inner Chatzar, we said if somebody from the outer Chatzar forgets to join in the Erev, then Vadei Pnimus Muteres, then Shmuel will agree that we can fix up the situation. We can make the inner Chatzar mutter to carry in, because the Ochda Dosha Umishtamsha. Because, in effect, what they can do is, now, again, we have the problem of a Hergel Eruv, don't we have that the people of the outer Chatzar are considered to be members of the inner Chatzar by having their food over there. Then you have a Hergel Eruv, now it's considered as though they live in that Chatzar. The answer is, Rashi brings from the end of the parak that we're going to say that we only joined you in our Eruv where it helps us, not where it hurts us. So the people in the inner Chatzar will say, if we're going to have a Hergel Eruv, if that's going to result because one of you people in the outside Chatzar forgot to join in the Eruv, therefore none of us are going to be able to carry in our Chatzar. No, what we'll do is we'll close our door, we'll close ourselves off, we'll say we have an Eruv, and you don't. The Eruv food that you contributed to, which is now in our Chatzar, we're going to say is off limits. You were closing the door, we're going to stay in our Chatzar for Shabbos, and you guys will remain Osir. Because you guys will remain also because of your one guy who forgot to join in. Fine, he can be Mavata Rishus to you guys. That's not our issue. But we ourselves are going to be mutter to carry in our. In our chotzer because we have the Eruv food by us. Okay. So we'll continue with this discussion. We'll continue this discussion tomorrow, Best Hashem. But Rashi actually mentions that all of this that we're talking about, that you should need bittul anyway, in a case like that, would only be according to Rabbi Akiva, who says, as we said before, that even if you're allowed to carry in your own chotzer, but if you're walking through another chotzer that you didn't make an Erev with, then you're going to make it also. It's called Regal Has Hamuteres B'Mekayma, or Seres Shalai B'Mekayma. According to the Chachamim, you don't need Bittul at all. All you need is you don't need Bittul Rishos in the first place. The people of the inner Chatzar are able to say, if you guys are with us in our Eruv, then that creates a problem because you guys have somebody who didn't join in your Eruv. We're Regal Hamuteres B'Mekayma because we're allowed to carry in our Chatzar. So we're going to close up our Chatzar and we're going to say that the Eruv belongs only to us and not to you. On the other hand, if somebody from the inner chotzer didn't join in the Eruv, then you can't say that. Then you can't say that we only join in the Eruv where it helps us, not when it hurts us, because the fact is, it's the people of the inner chotzer where one of them messed up by not joining in the Eruv. Actually, maybe let's take a minute and finish up over here till the two dots. Amalei Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua LeRava. So Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua asks Rava, on one of your scenarios, b'chishachach ech ben apnimis v'lei erev, if one of the people from the inner chotzer forgot and didn't join the erev, amayshtei nasuris, why are you saying that both chatzeres are osur and you can't do bitter rishus? Livtol hai by pnimis levnei pnimis, let him be mevatar rishus to the other people in the inner chotzer. The Tesi Chitzayin of a Tishri Ba'adayu, and then the outer Chotzer, then the outer Chotzer will be mutter together with them. Because again, so you have once he's Mevatar Rishus to some people, then isn't it effective for all of them? So Rava answers him back, Kaman Rabbi Eliezer. Well, you're only asking according to Rabbi Eliezer. We learned previously at the very end of the second parak that Rabbi Eliezer says if somebody forgets to join in the Eruv Chatzeres, then he doesn't have to be Mevatar Rishus individually to each person. He can be Mevatar Rishus to one person, and then that works for everybody else. So you're saying the same thing over here. You can be Mevatar Rishus to some people, and then everybody else will be included in that. But I'm talking according to the Rabbanan, where the Rabbanan say that you have to be mevatel individually to each person. And here, how is he going to be mevatel to the people in the outer chotzer if Shmuel is saying ein bittul rishus mechotzer lechotzer? So therefore, it's not going to work. Okay, so that's the bottom line is that Rava is saying that sometimes you can do bittul rishus mechotzer lechotzer. In the scenario over here, we're saying. That there is a certain case where there is a, if the Erev food is located in the inner chatzer, then the and somebody from the outer chatzer forgot to join in the Erev, then the people in the inner chatzer are able to say that, you know what, listen, you guys join in the Erev. It was meant to help us. Instead, now it's hurting us because now we have a hergel eruv over here. The eruv is causing that you're becoming members of our chatzar. So we're going to close off our chatzar and say that the food in effect belongs to us. And therefore, if you want to join in our eruv, you will have to be mevatel rishus to us. Then Rava says that's where Shmuel would say you could do bitter rishus from chatzer to chatzer when you have one chatzer inside the other one like that, but otherwise not. As opposed to Abaye had said that more generally that Shmuel would allow bitter rishus from one chatzer to another if the scenario is where the inner chatzer has to walk through the outer chatzer. Okay. To be continued tomorrow, Beis Hashem. Shkoyach.